Exciting news from the EAN. Since January 2025, EAN Campus is open to all associate members. If you're part of a National Neurological Society in Europe, you may already have access. Just log in with your MyEAN account at eancampus.org and explore top quality content. More details in the episode description.
Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the EAN podcast series. I am Maria Judith Molnar, co-chair of the Neurogenetic Scientific Panel of the European Academy of Neurology. In this episode, we are introducing you some new technologies which makes our diagnostic capabilities much better. Today, I am joined by Dr. Arianna Tucci, clinical reader in genomic medicine at Queen Mary University of London, and honorary consultant in clinical genetics. Dr. Tucci's work focuses on uncovering the genetic basis of neurological disorders using advanced technologies and bioinformatics. SHIP has played a key role in implementing whole genome sequencing for diagnosing neurological repeat expansion disorders through collaborations with the NHS and Genomics England, a major milestone she reported in The Lancet Neurology in 2022. More recently, her studies published in the Nature Medicine and Nature Genetics have highlighted just how common repeat expansions are and revealed the mutations in the EEF3 gene are a major cause of intellectual disability. Today, we are dividing into the technologies transforming neurogenetics. Traditional sequencing often missed key variants behind conditions like ataxias, epilepsy, and autism. But now, with new algorithms, long-read sequencing, and optical genome mapping, we are uncovering changes that were once invisible. These tools are helping us solve tough cases and understand neurological disorders in the entirely new ways. Arianna is an outstanding expert in this field, and I'd like to ask her to help us understand these new technologies and guide us through how they support the diagnosis of patients with neurogenetic disorders. Arianna, starting with short-read sequencing technologies, what has changed and which specific neurogenetic disorders have been breakthroughs thanks to these changes?
Hi, yeah, thank you for this question. So in order to understand these changes, I'd like to quickly start outlining the short-read sequencing or next-generation sequencing technology. It involves fragmenting the DNA into small, roughly 500 base pair fragments, and then sequencing 150 base pair on each end of these DNA fragments. So the sequence of this short DNA fragment, also known as short sequencing reads, are then mapped to the specific place they represent in the human genome. So short-read sequencing basically represents many, many thousands of short DNA fragments, 150 pair base pair long. The advantage of short-read sequencing is that it produces millions of reads, and therefore in a single experiment it's possible to read an entire genome, but just in short fragments. So what has changed in the short-read sequencing? So short-read sequencing, which was introduced in the last 10 years, is now widespread in clinical use with whole genome sequencing or whole exome sequencing, which focuses only on the protein coding on the genes. Historically, short-read sequencing could not deal with DNA repetitive sequences. It could read those sequences, but it did not know how to analyze them. And they were completely discarded from the analysis. These repetitive sequences, as you know, are very important in neurogenetics because they cause repeat expansion diseases, which is one of the most common causes of inherited neurological disorder. So what has changed is that in the last few years, bioinformatic algorithms have been developed specifically to read and analyze these DNA repetitive sequences. So these algorithms are very accurate at sizing DNA repeats that are smaller than 150 base pair, like those that cause Huntington disease and other polyglutamine diseases. They can also detect large repeat expansions like the ones that cause Friedreich ataxia, for example, but they cannot size them. So going back to the original question, what has changed in short-read sequencing? It is the development of algorithms that can detect repeat expansions, and they can size the small repeat expansions, and they can only detect the presence of large repeat expansions like the ones that cause Friedreich ataxia. This advancement has changed the way in which diagnostic testing is performed, and it is now the diagnostic testing for repeat expansion diseases in the UK uses as a first line short-read sequencing. So long-read sequencing is a new DNA sequencing method that generates reads or sequences of DNA that are much longer than those produced by the traditionally short-read sequencing technologies. So instead of breaking down DNA into small fragments, long-read sequencing can read DNA fragments that are thousands of base pair long or even longer. Currently, there are two major producers of the long-read sequencing technology, what is called Pacific Bioscience, also known as PacBio, and the other one is Oxford Nanopore, also known as Nanopore. So PacBio sequencing works by placing a single DNA strand in a tiny hole with a special enzyme that copies the DNA. As the enzyme adds each new letter to the DNA strand, a new letter being A, T, C, or G, it gives off a tiny flash of light, and the camera records these flashes in real time. So it allows to figure out what is the DNA fragment of that DNA fragment. Oxford Nanopore technology works differently. It works like a tiny electric gate, where a single DNA strand is passed through a microscopic hole, also known as nanopore, and as it moves through, it disrupts an electric current in a unique way for each DNA letter. And the sensor reads these changes and translates them into a DNA sequence. So there are two different technologies, and each technology has its own strengths. PacBio has higher accuracy. As we know in clinical genetics, we very much want an instrument which is accurate in determining the sequence because it will determine whether a patient has a mutation or not. Whilst Nanopore tends to produce much longer reads, sometimes even 1 million base pair long reads, which makes it better at resolving long and large complex variants. Currently, long-read sequencing is not as widely used in clinical applications as long as short-read sequencing because of the limitations. One, long-read sequencing technologies are more expensive and have lower throughput, meaning that it takes longer to sequence an entire genome and it's more expensive. Two, the bioinformatics is not as mature as it is for short-read sequencing. And three, also a bottleneck is the DNA, which should come ideally in long fragments and therefore sometimes requires specific DNA extraction methods, and therefore it needs to change the way the standard DNA isolation happens in laboratories.
It seems so that we can combine these technologies. And what are the key advantages of combining short and long read sequencing? And how do their strengths complement each other?
Yeah. So in the last few years, we've seen a drop in the cost of short-read sequencing, with genomes from many thousand patients being sequenced using this technology worldwide. So for example, in the UK, there are now over 60,000 patients with rare disease, about a third has neurogenetic disorder. They had their genome sequenced using short-read sequencing, and this data is now available to researchers. So what this means is that this large amount of short-read sequencing data can be used as a first-line test to screen for the presence of repeat expansions, both in disease-causing DNA repeats, so the ones that we already know that cause repeat expansion diseases, but also it can be used to look for new repeats because we are looking and we have available the sequence of the entire genomes and we know that there are many, many other repeats in the entire genome. So what happens is that we can use short-read sequencing as a first-line test to screen for the presence of DNA expansion. And when a putative repeat expansion is detected in the short-read sequencing genome, then these genomes can be selected for the analysis with long-read sequencing, which will give us the full length and sequence of the repeat that has been detected using short-read. So combining the two approaches is cost-effective because only the genomes for patients that are found by short-read sequencing to have a putative expansion can be sequenced using short-read, which is more expensive. So in for neurogenetics, this has been a powerful approach in the last 5 years to identify new cause of neurogenetic diseases.
Can you walk us through a case where these new technologies solved a diagnostic mystery that stemmed exome sequencing?
I would like to talk about a repeat expansion in FGF14 to start with. So it's a repeat expansion that causes CAR27B, and it is now known to be the most common cause of adult onset ataxia. Okay, this repeat expansion was discovered 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago. Initially, researchers selected for short-read genome sequencing the genomes from patients from different families that presented with similar phenotype that included episodic features and downbeat nystagmus. What they did was to analyze the short-read sequencing and use this new bioinformatic algorithm to detect the repeat expansion. What this analysis showed is that there was a potential repeat expansion in the FGF14 gene. Then the genomes where this repeat expansion was present were then tested using an orthogonal and the gold standard technology, which is PCR-based test, to validate and determine the presence of this repeat. So it is now recognized that repeat expansion in FGF14 are by far the most common cause of late-onset cerebellar ataxia, and they explain up to 20% of cases. And this discovery has been possible originally just by using short-read sequencing. Another example that I would like to talk about is an emerging class of a repeat expansion of a CGG sequence, which causes the oculopharyngeal distal myopathies. Most of these have been discovered in the last few years using the combined approach of short-read sequencing to indicate the presence of a putatively expanded repeat. And then the genomes that have these putatively expanded repeats are then sequenced using long-read sequencing. And again, as I said, this is going to be a very cost-effective and powerful approach.
And what about optical genome mapping? Why is it such an important new tool in the field, and what can it reveal that other technologies might miss?
So optical genome mapping is a non-sequencing technology. What it does, it produces a map of the human genomes and is very good at identifying structural variants, large complex variants whose size is between 500 and a million base pairs. The way it works is by labeling long DNA fragments with fluorescent tags that are then visualized. And complex variants are detected by measuring the change in fluorescence in specific genomic locations. So the major neurogenetic disorders that benefit from these technologies are genetic disorders that are caused by complex variants, such as, for example, the facioscapular muscular dystrophy, FSHD. Obviously, it's the second most common muscular dystrophy, and it's caused by a large contraction of a repeat array of chromosome 4. Currently, the diagnostic testing is costly and time-consuming and requires southern plot followed by restriction enzymes in the lab. and optical genome mapping is of course more expensive, but it's much easier to do, and it has been shown that it can very accurately detect the mutation that causes FSHD. Another example of clinical application of optical genome mapping are the dystrophinopathies, so DMD, Becker, and the Becker dystrophy, in which pathogenic variants cannot accurately be identified using short-read sequencing. We know that about 5 to 7% of patients, after standard diagnostic testing, the mutation cannot be found. So optical genome mapping can discover rare mutations such as inversions or complex rearrangements in those patients, so increases diagnostic yields in those patients.
Excellent, good news. Where do you think all of this is heading in the next 10 years? More gene discoveries, more tailored treatments, or maybe breakthroughs we haven't even imagined yet?
So these technologies have already been shown to be powerful tool for new gene discovery. I expect that the technology will slowly move towards using more of the long-read sequencing as the costs drop, because long-read sequencing obviously can give us immediately important information about a size of a repeat, for example, or of a large copy number variant. And so I think it will become more and more used to identify new causes of diseases, so gene discovery. Also, I think very important, these technologies are helping advancing personalized medicine. For example, in telling us and getting the full understanding of the relationship between the genotype and phenotype. For example, in some of these repeat expansion disorder, take, for example, CANVAS or the large repeats that cannot be sequenced using and whose exact size and sequence cannot be determined using short-read sequencing technology. But we know that the exact size and sequence of larger arrangements can have an impact on the phenotype. So I think as we will move forward and use more of the long-read sequencing technology, we will learn more about the exact relationship between the exact size of a complex variant, like a large repeat, or the sequence inside it, and that effect that it causes, for example, on disease onset and progression.
Arianna, thank you so much for sharing your insights and helping us navigate this exciting and rapidly evolving field. It's clear that these technologies are not just transforming research, but also offering real hope for patients and families affected by neurogenetic disorders.
Thank you very much.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN Cast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.